And we did, before we start, we do want to say that the public comment for this meeting, it will be at the end of the meeting, after we have some time to discuss some things and to present, there will be some presentations, so it will definitely be at 7:30, if not a little bit before, so we will definitely make sure that you sign up, and then we can kind of go from there as far as how much time. We will certainly leave enough time for public comment at the end. Are there any additional materials anyone has? Okay. Are there additions and deletions to the agenda?
There's just a couple meetings we want to talk about from the subcommittee, and so I think we'll talk about that after we talk about the field trip, if that's okay.
Should we approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second. Okay, should we have any dissension or discussion?
No, but you can actually vote on them if you feel comfortable doing so.
Well, I guess I have to.
Well, we probably could save it for the next meeting if you don't feel comfortable.
If someone else is coming, if
Martine should be here.
If you'd rather wait.
No, it's fine.
So should we vote?
Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. So report by the library director.
I think I'm going to wait in the body of the agenda. The communication subcommittee did meet. As many of you are aware, Elise took a stab at trying to do a summary sheet that I think we'll have to work on a bit. And that the field trip is scheduled for November 7th, so we've been working on creating the logistics around that.
And I'd just like to say that I will be available to go on the tour.
Thank you.
Las Vegas. I hadn't responded to the emails.
And it looks like we will have more time to plan that in a little bit. All right. Are there any member reports? Okay. So the general business is the range of downtown library options. This is our presentation.
We have Eric Skiba here from Nolan Tam. After the last meeting, I think we were all sticker shock. Yeah, we were all experiencing sticker shock. And I think there were one thing that helped me wrap my head around it is I think there was a basic question that came out was, what is the $23 million bias in a remodel downtown? So Nolan Tam has taken a stab at looking at that particular issue. The other issue, I think, is sort of the out, how much does it cost to do everything we want? And in talking to Nolan Tam over the last 2 weeks, I do think the two-story, brand-new construction with the rooftop garden is sort of the out. If we could get everything we wanted, that's sort of what it would look like. The one thing I asked them to redo, because based on our current program, which contains everything we want, that is actually 46,000 square feet. So I asked them to really flesh out the new construction as one idea that includes everything we want, so that we will have a spectrum that is somewhere between $23 million remodel and this 46,000 square foot two-story construction. I believe that the answer is somewhere in the middle, but I don't think we yet know exactly what the scenarios we want to move forward are. And my hope is that we'll talk about that today. So one of the things I was struggling with in terms of Elise's task to summarize is I don't think we can yet summarize until we really decide these are the options we want to articulate. Does that make sense? So Eric's going to take a stab at the range.
We looked at what we were asked to do last time, which everyone sort of brought up. What can we do for $23 million in this building? And let's take that two-story scheme, and instead of using 44,000 square feet, which was what the metric was, because this building is 44,000 feet, let's use the program that we want, that we haven't been able to get lower than 46,788 square feet. So the feasibility study is just the hard cost of the building. And these are in order, sort of A1, this would be old C, and B. So the only two that have been updated are in the yellow here, the partial renovations. So in order for you to get a $23 million target for this building to renovate it, there's going to be a number of things you have to do. We're going to go through those in a minute, another slide. But the actual hard costs are about $60 million, just under $900,000. We'll go through the soft costs in a minute. The two-story scheme with the roof deck at 46,788 square feet, hard costs were around $36 million. So that was the feasibility study. We then take those numbers and put them into a cost model. The cost model incorporates both the construction costs and what are called soft costs. The soft costs are everything else involved with construction, from permit fees to architect fees to permits to furnishings, all your, everything else. And what we did was on this sheet, we've taken all the furnishings, 2.8, and we've moved them into another category. The other category is going to be separate fundraising. Okay? So what we've decided is for the construction, that there's going to be a number of things that are going to have to be privately fundraised for. Because the cuts, as you'll see in a minute, we're getting pretty deep, and we couldn't figure out another way to do this sort of renovated without actually. So, furnishings went to fundraising, library graphics, computers and printers, AV equipment, public art. All of that would have to be fundraised in a separate manner. So that was one strategy. And if you break that down, let's see this down the bottom. That's in section two here. That's about $1.9 million worth of fundraising that would have to happen outside of this $23 million. Okay? Then we get into the meat of it, which is really the building. And how what would we not do to this building if you were trying to meet that budget? Right? So this was us really doing a slash and burn approach. Maybe it was a little bit more developed than that. We talked about it for a couple of weeks. But the first thing was we would do very minimal site development, that we would focus on accessibility, right? Because that would have to be accessible. So instead of $50 say, square foot, it might be $5 a square foot for the site work. For the building itself, initially, there was the possibility, the desire to start trying to connect it to Civic Center on the west side, and that it would be entirely possible to take that facade and make it glazing and, you know, transparent, open up, allow some light in, and make a connection to the plaza across the street. So we're not going to do that. All right. All we're going to do is, you know, do the seismic work that's allowed or that's required really to meet life safety conditions. Right. So any of that exterior work that was meant to sort of make a bigger gesture into the community, it's all out, right? We still do the seismic work. We don't replace glazing on the exterior. So things like on the corners of the building, that single pane glazing that breaks very easily, in the skylights, in the new scheme that we were proposing, to bring daylight in on the upper floor to make it a nice space. We were going to sort of, the possibility was to throw a bunch of skylights up there to lighten up the space, because we can't do anything with the perimeter windows that are around here. Once you start enlarging them, you start talking about big expense. So the less expensive solution in our original proposal was to just to take the roof and punch some holes in it. We're not going to do that. We would say, instead, we'd only put one skylight in, and we would put it above the existing stair. So there would be no new stair. The stair would be as it is, and it would just be one skylight above. Right. So there's not a real qualitative improvement in the space on the second floor or the first. We would do things like leave the main fire sprinklers in place, we'd only replace branch lines that were necessary. We would leave the main electric service panels and feeders in, but we would have new distribution. The air handling units. I know it's really hot out there in the children's room right now, but we would keep the existing units, but we would allow for some new ductwork and a little bit of replacement on heating, not a wholesale replacement of the AC system, which is a really painful compromise. But that's what this estimate would do. It would also leave the annex wing alone. In other words, the small wing that's out in the parking lot, we wouldn't touch it at all. Right. So whatever, as it is now, it would remain. And we were still not there. After all of that, we're still not down to $23 million. So the only thing left was to start talking about shelling out space or not doing anything to it. And that would be somewhere between 6,000 and 9,000 square feet. And that's approximately where the wall is at the other children's room that separates the back of the house to the children's room. Right? That's around the area where you wouldn't do anything more beyond.
Meaning that is exactly the same kind of what we're using.
Exactly, you've got the same
And so,
you would probably get another new, you'd probably renovate that office where the workers are. That would be within, you know, this space. But anything beyond that, you would touch.
But so none of the spaces that we had contemplated from back of the house to front of the house would become front of the house. Everything would stay back of the house.
So then we would go to this fundraising mechanism for furniture, graphics, computers. That was an idea that didn't come from Susan. It was just what we did in our desperation to try and get them to $23 million. But this was something that you would have to consider. So that's it. I mean, those are painful. All right. So the second modification we made was to take that new construction and sort of say, what if we had some donor that came in and gave us $50 million? And if somebody appeared out of the woodwork, you know, what we want is not a 44,000 square foot building, but a 46,000 square foot new building, two story, on this site. And so we modified our cost model accordingly and the real construction cost. So this was a project that went up to $49 million. At the end, again, are the original cost that we proposed before for the full renovation, which is $37 million, and it's $14 million short. A1 would be a partial renovation, and the areas in orange would be approximately the areas that would be shelled out over the main building. That would be on the second floor, over the auxiliary space from the first floor. And that gets you to
And by shelled out, you mean they wouldn't be...
You would only be doing things like structural work or electrical upgrade.
Right. There would be no other improvements, right.
And then the new
Could you leave that slide up, please? And so, again, for me, what is easier is to sort of think about it from a $23 million project to a $50 million project. We were going to, at this point, do some pros and cons discussion about each of the scenarios. And so what I want to make sure are those are the four scenarios that ultimately we want to evaluate.
So A1 is really all new information.
Correct.
And A, B, A, C, and D is the information we had on the last meeting.
A and D are the same. C is modified to the full program.
Oh, okay.
And sorry, because I'm a linear thinker, A1 is really what I think option one. D is option two. I mean, I would go from no cost to highest cost.
Right, right.
And then talk about the difference. And when I say no cost, I mean $23 million.
Right. But it's $23 million plus fundraising.
Correct.
Plus fundraising of $2 million. So really the project is $2 million more. Mm-hmm. Because D includes those soft costs, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So the $2 million, if you took the $2 million of soft costs out of shared space D,
that would make it more. Well, it's still $1.5 million or more.
Right.
And you're still, with A1, you'd end up with no furniture.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so we're talking about.
Unless to make them truly comparable, you should take $1.2 million out of D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or new computers.
Or put $1.2 million as the deficit in A1.
Yeah, I think it should. Can we just think of it as the deficit in the $23 million mm-hmm. model?
Right. So A1 has a $1.9 million deficit.
Yeah. Were there any questions that people have for
Eric? I'm just really, disappointed that, that the partial renovation, if we had to, and I say settle for that, that we're still left with aging infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about adding new to the old and hope that it lasts. And also I'm concerned with, the public perception is that, $23 million, yes, is a lot of money. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And then to come into the building and say, well, is this all they did? We passed this measure that, gave a lot of money and, that we're, it's going to be hard to say, well, we did partial, air conditioning ducts and, we only did part of the upgrade of the electrical and you can't see that. And we did the Simic guys upgrade, which is great because, in case of an earthquake, we'd be safe. Hopefully. So, I'm just voicing a comment, that I'm disappointed in what we get for the partial renovation.
Can I have a point of clarification? Because our plumbing keeps going down, this would give us the plumbing, though, right?
Yeah. God. How we get that?
And it gives us an elevator.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
How much could be done in the, like you said, the stairwell has to stay the same. But how we choose to, interior walls could be, not counting the spaces that aren't going to be worked on. Interior walls could be moved or...
Yeah, they would be moved and changed.
Yeah, so we could relocate, we would have some flexibility to relocate children's services if we wanted to,
exactly.
Reorient the stairwell to be more, so it allows for that.
Yep.
And I'm a little confused about the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
So no, is that, so would we need, so this isn't putting a new roof on the building?
No.
And so how much is a new roof and when would we need to plan for that?
I haven't been on the roof. I'm not a roof.
I'm guessing.
I don't know. The scheme with a series of skylights was, you know, definitely assuming we would be redoing the whole roof.
Right.
So there was a lot more expense. This is assuming you've got a good roof up there and you were able to seal it with one installation of a skylight. So I do know the quality of work.
Okay.
That's just a risky assumption.
I'm not criticizing you. You just said you weren't a roofing contractor. I'm just speaking out loud, saying that, you know, we need to understand the situation of the roof. We talked a lot about deferred maintenance in general over the past several months. A1 addresses what are the largest pieces of deferred maintenance that are not addressed by A1? Are they just stated right here? Or are there...
No, those are all those. Everything that's not listed there is being replaced and upgraded. So those... It's not really a question of deferred maintenance. You are renovating everything outside of that 69,000 square feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting new bathrooms to come in. What you're not getting is a replacement on an aging mechanical system. That's not really a deferred maintenance. It's just that thing is different. So it's not rooted in. It's not so much a question of deferred maintenance. You're replacing everything outside of that.
Understand. Okay.
And will that last 30 years then?
No, it will not.
So do you have a semi-estimate of what its lifespan is?
It's not a viable solution at all. Keeping that thing as it is now. I mean, this solution is to be cobbling together. It's a Rube Goldberg solution, but it's not like it hasn't been done. Okay. I mean, people have renovated buildings and done these things. But, you know, that mechanical unit, it's not a real high-tech sophisticated thing, which means actually with replacement parts, it could theoretically go on forever. Right? If you could find a replacement part. Mm-hmm. It's like your elevator. It's very hard to fix anything that breaks down with it. So, that's probably the thing that defines its lifespan is, you know, how do you replace it and get the
components
to keep it going.
Yeah.
I can answer that.
Eric, I know this is not like buying a house, but if you start any of these projects, if you're buying a house, typically you go and get an inspector and someone's come in and kind of do a round of, you know, basement review. Is there also the potential that before any work got done, that would happen as well and that these numbers could change? Or you feel pretty confident about it?
On the renovation schemes, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think. There are no, if anything, it's optimistic, kind of honesty. And so if things change, it would be, I don't think that's not in a big degree.
Then then just another question, kind of in a different direction. We have about $750,000 in each of these schemes for temporary facilities costs.
Yes.
And, you know, just to be the, I guess, the devil's advocate here, if we didn't offer that, that money presumably could be put back into the project, right? And I'm also assuming that if the library is closed, there's ongoing annual maintenance costs for this building currently, right? And I don't know if we can commit the city that if this building was closed for 18 months to 2 years, that those monies that are typically used to maintain this facility as it is could also be put into the project to help. So I'm looking for nickels here, and yeah, maybe there could be another $40 million that could be put in. So you have potentially another $1 million if we're willing to bite the bullet and say, hey,
no swing space.
Yeah, no swing space. You know, it's coming, but, you know, because of our...
We refer everybody to the nine other...
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. When we're really close.
Right. And then, you know, the fundraising, if it were still going on, it was 1.9, that would even be better, because you could make some choices along the way, I guess. I mean, at a certain point, you can't decide, hey, I'm doing an old HVAC completely or I'm not. So at a certain point, the door closes, right? You can't just say, okay, now we're ready to do the HVAC. So there's some movable parts, maybe, as you go along with the project, or no? Okay.
What is the annual cost? What do you budget for maintenance on the building? You know, just...
You know, our budget, I don't know offhand, I have to look up, but it's for the 10 libraries.
Okay, so it's not just specific.
And because of the age of the libraries, we tend to maintain what is breaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not improving.
Rarely.
Mm-hmm. So one could potentially argue that we'd be saving this money over the long term if they were partnering with us, because those maintenance costs over time would go, well, for the short term, you get some kind of a warranty for a while, but then maybe 5-7 years, all that money that would normally be going into keeping the systems working, the HVAC, would be available, presumably.
So there's a joint powers board that represents the four jurisdictions, and they've been talking about the deferred maintenance issues a great deal the last year. Martine is on that group. I think their hope had been that the refurbishment of all the buildings gives us about 5 years to build into the budget a SIP capital improvement program. Then we could slowly build up so we're not having to cut hours and other services in order to achieve it. So I actually don't believe we have the resources in our current budget. I think it is something we're going to have to build to. The great thing about Measure S is it does give us a little bit of time, because rarely do you start with a library system of this age where you get to redo almost everything. But they were really planning on more of a 5-year plan to get there. But I do agree that the temporary facility is a choice.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about closing, you're talking about like having all of the books, like none of the books that are here would be able to be used.
Well, there are variations on that.
On a small scale, Capitola will close probably in April of next year. We are going through and going to cull the very best of the collection, put it at Aptos, Live Oak, send the staff to those two libraries, and keep those libraries open longer, more hours during the week, as a way of managing the traffic. The difficulty with is the scope of this particular facility and some of the special issues like the genealogical collection, the computer use in this facility. I don't believe we could replicate someplace else. You know, we do have a bookmobile. Also in Capitola, we're going to be bringing out some of the library programming to the mall. So, you know, we're very cognizant of trying to preserve services in the community so people don't feel the loss. But it's a different scale on this site than it is really with our smaller libraries. You have to realize Capitola is probably 4,000 square feet right now, and this is 44,000 square feet. So it really is a very different scale we're talking about.
And on this partial renovation, A1, the 36,000 square feet is basically program space, right?
It's what space?
Program space.
Public right? program space.
Public and what we targeted was, well, 46,000 for, you know, our wish list of all the programs. So right now, in this building, it's 36,000 of public program space?
I think I have it in here somewhere.
I know.
And so what we really need to look at is what is public space against what will be public space. I think, though, in our programming goals, we were shifting significant back of the house space to public space.
Yes.
I don't believe we'll be able to accomplish that, which would then have...
With the partial.
A great impact on the program we've created.
Because we'd have to leave the back of the house space as back of house space.
In order to accomplish new goals, we'd really have to reduce the footprint of some of the things we're doing,
right.
Like the children's and adult collections.
Right, okay. What about genealogy?
Genealogy.
And we'd have to reduce some of that too.
Unless we chose not to programmatically change at all, which I think would be a wrong choice for this community.
Right.
Just then, can you, what's the nature of these relationship between the genealogical society and the library? Is there a tenant-landlord relationship, or is there, what is the relationship?
It's more of a memorandum of understanding. We give them some preferential space services. They give us, in particular, the biggest thing they give us is volunteers staffing the building. And they do 40 hours a week and a lot of programming.
They're staffing the operation with genealogy, not other parts of the building. No.
Correct.
And by programming, just to clarify, you're meaning the features of what we have taught.
No, I'm sorry. This is actual, they offer programs to the community like
Ancestry.
Research Your House, how to use Ancestry.com. And they do that across all 10 libraries, but they primarily cite it here. So it's a relationship much like the Friends in some ways, but it's more of a barter.
So we went through a lot of information. I'm having trouble kind of getting my head around what's gained and what's lost in A1. And if there's a summary, is there a summary page here other than all these line items? In other words,
there's a listed in that.
Oh, I guess page 2. Page 2 is the full. And page 4, you can compare 4 and 2. 2 to 4.
So I think, Martine, in part to answer your question, what the architect has not done is they've identified what would be lost in square feet. They have not figured out what would be lost in program.
So A1, for example, loss in square feet equals, what's this number here? 44,000 to 36,000.
Correct.
And that loss, does that include the 6,000 to 9,000 back of the, I won't say back of the yard, but the
back of the house.
Back of the house. That's Chicago, back of the yard.
Yeah.
Is that included in the?
Yeah, it's a middle number. So from 44 to 36.
So I'm trying to double process it. So the 9,000, 6,000 to 9,000 is part of the 36,000, or it's deducted from the 44,000 to give us the 36,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I think one of the first questions we have to ask is, as we go out and talk to people about this, are these the four options you want to talk about? And then I think it would be interesting, according to the agenda, to talk about what are the pros and cons of each. And sort of taking what Elise tried to do, but sort of updating it based upon the most current information we have. But are those the four correct?
I think so, speaking personally. I think they are. I have just one caveat, because I've been reading some of these emails that have come across about the parking lot option. And it seems to me that the majority of people who are against the parking lot option, outside of the kind of the contributing to transportation issues of cars downtown, et cetera, is the idea of the parking lot being on top or the library being underneath. And I wondered whether or not, if there was another solution, let's say the parking lot was not on top, I mean, putting it underneath is very expensive from experience. I know that it's very expensive for ventilation, et cetera, but maybe there's a side option, there's some other option, so you don't feel like you're under a parking lot. And I don't know, that's a design issue.
And I think there's a viability issue, too.
Yeah, it is an option. What was presented initially was conceptual. It was a feasibility study just to determine whether it was financially and physically feasible. It wasn't intended to be the final design and layout, and it has been evolving to some extent. And so I think the idea would be that it would be, the garage would be tucked in the back, out of sight, because we're also looking at adding office and housing. So I think the average person, the idea is that the average person, when you walk by it, and there's a lot of examples of this, you wouldn't necessarily even realize that there's a garage in there. Could it be above? That's also something to explore. Again, nothing's been decided with respect to the design, the layout. That's all open to review and consideration.
Okay, that helps. Because I think I would be, if I had to defend that as the only option, I think that would be easier for me to defend in terms of an option, because we do get all the wells and wells, all the bells and whistles in that kind of an option.
Yeah.
Are we ready to move on specifically to the pros and cons of each option? Did you have a larger paper with that?
Yeah.
Janice, will you help
and
us document?
Janice is going to write up right away while we throw
Should
out the...
Yeah, that would be great.
So Janice,
I'm happy to do it, too.
Janice has got it. So Janice, you'll record while we throw out.
Sure. Can I write whatever I want?
No, you have to write what we say. Carol Merrill.
What color would you like?
Turn.
Is it the sticky kind?
Location. Is that a pro or pro? Oh, that's a
pro.
Well,
pro.
It could be a, it could be either, but I'll say it's a pro.
Me too.
Yeah, I agree. It also, along the same line, retains the integrity of a civic area downtown.
Lower costs than some options.
On a square foot basis, or can you?
It allows for the full programming that we
meets the program.
Determine. Yeah, meets the program goals.
Programming saves.
Yeah, I'd say meets full program and structural. Allows for full structural renovation.
Mm-hmm. Can I call that infrastructural?
Yeah.
I would say something like, I don't know what the final look would be, but it's really going to create more of a architectural design statement, I think, that has the potential for being a destination
and
point.
A new
yeah.
destination. Mm-hmm. Architectural
statement. I think people will feel like their money has been well spent, because I think it will be, it could be, it has the potential to be beautiful buildings.
No, it's good. Cons.
Yes, cons.
Okay, so a con, $14 million, almost $15 million over budget. $15 million over budget.
Okay, the con is that it's $14 million over budget.
Right.
We're rounding up to 15.
Yeah,
$15 million. Which is probably why. $15 million over. We'd have to relocate.
Yeah.
Relocation.
Disruption of service.
Yeah. And staff.
Yeah. Disruption to staff.
I'm not sure if this is the case, but this is kind of a pro, that the work could start sooner.
Mm-hmm. Let me formulate how to say this. It's just a con I feel is that if we renovate this space specifically, a lot of what we've been hearing is like the defensive architecture, and I know there's a lot of corners that I feel, and like the outside space, I feel like it's kind of inviting for people to linger and loiter in the entryway, like in ways that maybe work against, because we have to keep that this is the full renovation, but keeping this exact building, so.
Right. We'd still be in this footprint.
We'd still be in this kind of shape, so which I don't think so lends it, itself. It's a con.
It's
I don't think it lends
retains
itself.
The footprint.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's more like about the defensive architecture. I think it's harder to implement.
It would be control of exterior space.
Control
of exterior space.
Yes.
Lack of control.
right.
Yeah.
Less flexibility in what we could do.
Yes.
So I have a possible comment. It's actually a question for her. Would you say that in a renovation of this extent that we're looking at in this building, that there are a lot of unknowns, more unknowns than there are in the other options, or do you feel like you pretty much understand where the bodies are buried?
It's a pretty straightforward concrete building. I mean, it wasn't built in phases. It wasn't built with different types of construction. The drawings are pretty complete. I mean,
copy. Yeah, that we know what we're working with.
Yeah, you know what you're working with.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we start from a known quantity.
In the pros, few unknowns,
right.
Few construction unknowns.
Yeah. We did it. Yeah, that is true.
Few structural unknowns.
And do we then have as a pro the annex as part of the project in this?
Well, yeah, then we get the full program.
We get the, yeah, the square footage.
Right.
Is a con we reduce some parking or no?
Not that we
not
with the two story.
Oh no, this is
no,
the
this is
renovation.
A,
oh, you're right.
So we'd still have the space next door.
A con I think is also if it's in this building then we can't do some more interesting kind of architectural things that maybe other libraries have done in terms of lighting and windows and.
Although on the full renovation, I mean, the full renovation, we could do more lighting. You were saying, I mean, you know, we could do more with the skylights.
Yeah. Well, we could do the skylights, but it's like, it's the same, it's you know, we're still limited, right? The windows are the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The, like there's a lot that has to stay that I think in a different world
the
we
columns,
would
yeah.
maybe think about more interestingly.
Well, there is a set of inflexibility to the infrastructure.
Yeah. Yes.
Architectural design limitations.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah.
Right.
You hear that? Architectural design limitations.
I mean, we could theoretically reorient the entrances, like you were saying, if we wanted to reorient it more toward City Hall. You could do that. But the main structural columns have to stay where they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is a pro that's embedded in there, but it's good to name it that it should last 30 years.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
It is. Yeah.
A future, the looking to the future.
I like to state the obvious. I know it's in there, but let's state it.
It's not obvious because, in contrast to A1, for example,
yeah.
A1 is not.
We know we're
going to last
yes.
30 years. So it's worth calling out.
Uh-huh. Should we move on? And if anyone keeps wanting
I think we
to
should go
back?
To A1.
Okay,
now.
Are you ready for
because
A1?
That's sort of got my dream thing.
Okay, A1. This is the partial renovation that was outlined. This is the $23 million that was outlined today.
Well, I think certainly on the pros, the first two are obviously the same.
Right.
Retaining the location, and you don't need to necessarily write them out, but. And the lower cost.
Yeah. The deficit is not as large.
And lower cost.
Lower cost.
I think rather than lower cost, I would just say meets budget.
But it doesn't.
But
it doesn't.
Because we still have a $2 million deficit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Hidden deficits, I guess.
Yeah.
And we have the integrity of the civic area. Mm-hmm. But on the con side, it's it's $2 million over budget.
And this is only a band-aid effect. It wouldn't give us the 30 years.
So the library budget would have to stand for plan, you know, deferred maintenance. Mm-hmm. Would increase your deferred maintenance.
Say that again, Martha?
Well, because it wouldn't last 30 years, we'd have the regular library budget would have to assume a higher deferred maintenance.
Okay.
Increase maintenance.
Yeah, well,
and,
or planned maintenance.
Well, I'm not sure how to say this also, but just that it seems like we would keep the same population of people that are coming to the library now. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That we're not doing anything to beautify the library, to make it appealing to new people, to new kinds of people who are coming. Yes, increasing the teen space and all of that.
I think Eric was saying we could move walls, and we can't touch those spaces that are not going to be built up. But like, for example, up here, we could still reorient program space, the 36,000 program space. We could have different walls or different ways of, there could be a new design.
Yep, there will be a new design.
Mm-hmm. Even at this partial renovation. Yep. So maybe there is.
But I guess, okay, I don't know how to say this properly, but it seems like when we did the survey, a lot of people were very concerned about the existing library.
Feeling safe here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the bathrooms will be addressed, sounds like. But a lot of the other issues, I think, probably wouldn't.
With the more imaginative, innovative ways. Of
which would, I think, draw more people in. And I don't know exactly.
We might not have the space to do that.
We won't have the space or the budget. Because we can't even have we're not even paying for the computers. So
you wouldn't have any new programs or expanded programs. Mm-hmm. With the con.
It's a little different than what Verena is saying, which is also.
Well, you can write what Yolanda said, because I'm not really sure how to. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
I think you're saying.
I do. I'm trying to figure out how to say it.
For difference in architecture. Is that what you're saying? No.
Well, that is part of it. Like, we can't do the defensive architecture, but we also can't grow our appeal as a library.
Yes.
I think that's very good. You can't grow the appeal. You wouldn't attract new.
No, I just don't see, even with 36,000 feet on a very minimal budget, if we could make the teens, if we could make the children's, but we're losing the meeting space, or, you know.
What could we do to the exterior? Just paint?
Reduces the diversity of services.
The exterior would just be
part of which would attract other people as well. And certainly, I mean, eliminating all the computers is.
It used to be pink and
orange. Reduce the population.
And like I said, there would be no new design on the exterior. It would be pink.
I think that would be a pro on the first one that we would, you know. With this full renovation, we'd be more apt to attract a more diverse population. For instance, you know, the university students, more families, different groups that would be interested in using the library for meetings or, you know, just to the program.
I've gotten a little bit confused, and maybe this is an Eric question, but under A1, are you saying that there will not be any changes to the facade or the landscaping currently as part of the footprint?
Paint.
So what we're putting a paintbrush up there, and that's it.
Let him answer that.
The only changes to the landscape would be for accessibility.
Okay. That's true.
On A1, one of the pros for A1 is the work could start sooner. And we had that on there.
Should we move on?
Mm-hmm. I guess I would just say on the con side, it has pretty much all the cons associated with A in terms of, do we capture that in terms of relocation expenses and disruption of service, et cetera, et cetera?
I'll repeat all of those.
Yeah.
Are you willing to open it up to other...
Right now we're discussing, and we'd love to hear everything in the public comments. So we're moving on. I think to the next.
But there might be some more.
We're moving on to the next, which is I think the shared space, the parking garage space, which is a D listed up there.
Okay.
Does that sound good to you?
Mm-hmm.
So, pros and cons.
One of the pros was we wouldn't need to relocate. I mean, to relocate.
Temporary.
Yeah. No, temporary space.
Yeah.
And it could meet all of our goals
programmatically.
Con is that we're still over budget on that one.
Well, we're
three and a half million over. For pros, I would say it's the largest return for dollar. Biggest bang for the buck.
Are you saying that based on the square footage cost, or just in like?
In terms of the total project budget and the services that we're getting in exchange for that total budget, it's the largest return per dollar.
For cons, I think we should mention that there is a very concerned group who does not want the parking garage.
Another con, I don't know if this is a con, this could be a pro or a con. It moves the library to a different part of downtown.
Could we put it under both?
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be, that could be both.
So tell me why it's a pro and why it's a con.
Well, I think it's a pro because it moves it to a more trafficked area of downtown. It's a con if you think of this area as a civic space.
And it's a con because it interrupts the historical presence of a library on this site, which is what we were claiming as a pro for A and A1. The two things kind of go together, the civic center.
If that's a pro.
The civic location plus the historical presence of a library.
Another con, I thought, this could be a con. A pro is that the major construction costs are borne by a secondary, you know, the parking authority. But the con then is that we have to work with a second party. You see?
Okay.
So, I mean, you see what I mean? That it's pro is that it doesn't cost, but on the other hand, we aren't in it by ourselves.
The shared cost?
Yeah, I mean, the major... structural costs are borne by a second party. But on the other hand, that on the con side, that means we're at the mercy of a second party. I mean, we have to work with it. We're not so much as in control, I think. That would be true. Yeah, it's more common.
So if I say sharing control,
does
that work? Yeah. You're talking project control or project and ongoing control?
Well, I mean, just to even get the building started.
So it's late start date, 2 years.
Well, Well, or we're at the mercy of
historical Janice under con. Steve mentioned the historical
continuity
under a con, losing that.
And then incorporated moves library to new site.
I think a pro, on the flip side of what you're saying, it could be that there's more possibilities that although it's a shared structure and we're losing, maybe we have that those other parties on the other side. It sounds like what Martine's saying is that there could be a lot of out-of-the-box kind of opportunities.
Right. So that's why I said pro and con.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I think so. What would you like me to say?
Just opens up design opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Collaboration.
Martine, you said something about the timing.
Yeah, that this list here shows the construction start of April 2020, which is
a year later
start date and later completion date. I don't have that. Or maybe not. Maybe new construction is quicker than renovations.
It's another
con.
So
that's a
con.
Yeah.
It's a
con. A later start date.
Later start date.
So then, if it's such a later start date, then a related con would be the 10% loss of construction budget per year or whatever the going
cost escalation.
Cost escalation.
I think is what you were saying.
Pro for me that part of the new site is it moves it closer to the metro station. Which I know some people think is not far, but I bus to Watsonville every day to work, and the closer you can in rain when you're carrying bags. And
they're going
to
be renovating that, too. Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
Let me throw out an idea first on the one of the pros might be perhaps a more secure environment because you have other tenants and other activity going on in the same footprint, housing and the garage and the library and more activity. It could also be a con, but see more as a pro.
Well, I think it also addresses a lot of the defensive architecture aspects.
You also want me to put the environment on that, Martine?
As a con, was there a
the environment?
Yeah.
What you were talking about. You said a more secure.
Secure, yeah. No. No, I see it as a pro.
I think we should.
When we talked over, I don't want to lose some of the things that we liked over here. It would give us a more beautiful building. I think there's a lot of potential for design, like what Martine was talking about, that there's a lot of flexibility in what we could do. We could make a real architectural statement.
Another pro would be it would probably attract a whole lot of people who don't walk into the library now because of the proximity to Pacific Avenue. Would just have a walk-in potential, much greater walk-in potential than we have now.
Yeah, just general visibility.
Right.
And I think just a new structure would add to the downtown area. People want as it adds, dresses it up a little bit, something new that would attract curiosity, if nothing else. Just go check out the new library.
I think we should move on, but feel free to keep adding to the other to the other ones. So this last one is, this is the
two-story.
On this site, two-story new, completely new building.
that's on this existing site.
I mean, I think the obvious con is the price.
But the pro is this is the
dream.
This is the dream. This is the this would be
the deluxe model.
Yeah.
It's a $26 million deficit.
More than twice.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's more of the dream than than option D is, for example.
You're right.
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Yeah, no,
I'm just saying that
it's one possibility.
If that's a dream, then D is also
a dream.
The dream.
Right. No, but I think it does option D would we would have complete control over all the design and we would have to incorporate a parking garage and work around any of it. So
It's a bigger dream.
So I'm gonna put dream on this. That's what you're saying.
Okay. The full fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have an opportunity to really incorporate, address the needs and or the desires of what the respondents to our survey asked.
Program. But a con on it, we would still have to relocate for 2 years.
Yeah. And the cost associated with that.
And this one, we would keep the parking lots would stay, right? This isn't the work. Did we throw out? We threw out the.
That was on the one floor.
And one story. That out.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the shared space, we in the A1 and A, we retain this parking lot next door, and I guess you could say that in the shared space, we would potentially a pro is that we would have parking. That was something that came out in certain
people. Yeah, wanted parking.
I mean, I know that's also not popular, but
even about the teenagers,
I mean, you could at least say we have parking. You might as well have it down here. I mean, you asked the question about
Another pro for the share that came up was that it would open up this building for other cities.
Oh, right.
Other uses. And needs.
Yeah.
I really liked on the two-story having a rooftop deck.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I guess this is a question for you, Susan, but my impression is that having two-story buildings is more costly to operate than a single-story building.
It is.
So that should be a con.
But that would have to be repeated except for the shared space.
Oh, that is true. Because that's what he's currently.
Can you repeat that for the A1 and the A?
Two stories.
Yeah.
So that's what it is now.
Right. Are there any other? Can we just sit with it for just a minute and just kind of feel free to throw out for any of the
pros or cons? It's a two-story building.
Fair to say that a pro of D is that the overall project expense because there's a cash value to this building, let's say, that we're vacating. I don't know whether that's fair to claim.
It's a benefit to the city, I guess.
So, like, leaves the most valuable asset? Is that?
Thank you for saying that.
Leaves the most valuable asset? Is that what you're getting at, or?
What I'm getting at is there's a value to this real estate and to the structure that's on this real estate that is returned to the city. So it reduces the overall project cost to a certain extent because you're getting something back.
On the great scoreboard of life.
Who's getting it back?
The city's
getting it back.
Can I comment on that? So what it does is it creates a new asset that we wouldn't have otherwise, and it does provide. I mean, it's all the city's expense. It's not like the whole thing is. So one way or the other. So it does provide us with the opportunity, if we wanted to. One way to address the deficit would be to sell your building or another building or make the asset into funds to help the deficit.
Yeah. Thank you.
So creates a new asset.
It provides an asset. It provides an additional asset to the city.
Which I think I heard you say that potentially could help to cover the deficit. Potentially.
Anything else?
Can I make one recommendation? I would let this evolve because you're also heading into a public communications process from which I think you're going to learn things about pros and cons and how the community perceives it. So my hope was that we wouldn't nail this down today, right. Other than it would be the beginning of a conversation rather than the end of it.
Good. That sounds good.
So that's great.
This is based on what we know today.
Yes, and this is our draft before public comments draft. So maybe and we're missing people. Yes.
Yeah.
So should we move on to the plan for the field trip on November 7th?
The field trip will take place on November 7th. They'll be leaving from here at 8:45 via a bus.
Yes.
8:45.
8:45 to depart at 9 a.m.
So we can meet right at 9.
Mm-hmm. So we meet, gather at 8:45.
And where?
Yes.
In front of City Hall.
Yep, City Hall.
In front of City Hall. The tours will be available to the public. So we will be going to Los Gatos first and then back to this library second. And we will meet with the city council, hopefully in the last hour, which we're expecting will be from 11 to 12 in this room. And again, the public is invited for all the sections of that.
So we expect to be at Los Gatos at 9:30.
Yes.
We want to try to leave right at 9.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We don't expect to really stay at Los Gatos and have a discussion there. We'll probably really just tour, get back on the bus, and then come back.
And when we come here, will we be touring at all in this building?
The goal is to have James do the same tour that you received.
Which I know, so I'll be happy to do.
And then our hope is then to gather in this room and to talk about what we've learned about the costs. And I think part of the discussion is because I don't think this group has necessarily decided the direction that they're going, you may not yet want to take this step with the city council because, I think we're going to be doing a public process. And I think this becomes part of your final recommendations.
This is evolving.
Correct. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I suspect that will be presented to the city council.
Will there be any aid that describes the Los Gatos project?
The Los Gatos
In other words, the cost, square footage.
Chris will be there and available for any questions.
Okay. Okay. There's not going to be a handout or anything.
They do have a handout.
When was construction completed on this project? Was construction completed on Los Cajos?
It was opened February 11th, 2012.
Okay. There you go.
So we will be meeting, it will be a joint meeting or just a city council meeting when we come back?
I've never done this before, so...
I'm sorry, what was...
Will it be a joint meeting? I mean, will those of us from this committee who are going join with the city council for the... So it'll be a joint meeting. Okay. And so while I appreciate that we won't be laying this out for them, if they ask about some of our opinions about pros and cons, I mean, it's all part of the grist for the mill.
I just think that the committee, though, has not made a recommendation as of yet.
So it would be
as individuals, you can have.
Okay. We'll represent ourselves as individuals.
And then we really need to just talk about what the subcommittee had talked about. Does anyone want to report in on that? Martine?
Oh, I didn't get notes.
Is this still part of the same agenda item? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. What we added, part D.
Oh, it's a new agenda item?
We added report from this communication section.
I think part of what we had talked about was on the bus, using the bus time. Is this what you're...
I was thinking about November 12th.
Okay, yes.
The next meeting?
That we were talking about doing a community meeting.
Yes. That's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. From 1 to 3, where we would... bring forward the four options, invite the public to come, and do a facilitated process to talk through the options with interested members of the community.
And I think that the expectation was that all of the committee members who could attend would help to facilitate those discussions. Because we see kind of
small
a...
Small groups?
Small group discussions, yeah. That would be facilitated by a professional facilitator, so that we can fully engage, people can ask, we're not either being defensive or offensive in any way, that we would be having a conversation with the people who attended. We picked Sunday because it was hard to find a good day, but, you know, basically we thought that more people would be able to turn out on Sunday than we wanted to have on the weekend. Definitely. Yeah.
And I think that this is many of the kinds of things we'd like to do with the public as well, which is why I'm trying to leave this fluid at this point, because I assume that that meeting will have an impact on, because some of these are opinions and some of these are facts. Mm-hmm. I think that will help us sort where some of the members of the community are coming from.
Mm-hmm. And also we had talked about November 8th, during the November 8th meeting. Mm-hmm. That's a Wednesday. We would talk about having the public comment first, mm-hmm. and advertising that as a public meeting, so that even if we had agenda items, that could be at the end, so that the public really has more of an opportunity. That would be like the same, like limit 3 minute kind of a thing, right. But it is still just providing that space.
And then the last story is November 15th. The city does a city hall to you, and library has a table, and we were hoping that if some of you are interested, we suspect it's going to be on the east side at Santa Cruz Bible Church. All the city departments come, but I suspect the library will be a source of discussion. So if we could have some of the members of the committee come and help us man that table so we can answer questions, that would be really helpful.
You sent some stuff about that.
Is that the one on Frederick Street?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What time of day is that, Jen?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And then there's a time for interaction, and there's some speakers, and then there's time for interaction.
So you don't have to come to everyone, but if we could divide and conquer a bit, it would help us a great deal.
I want to go back to the November 12th. You said that there would be a actual facilitator but that each of us would be expected to facilitate too. Is that?
It would be, we, our vision was that we would have a table where we were with, like, individually, like, split up our committee and have a table and then have other people of the public, and then it would be more of a back and forth kind of forum.
I think members of our public have requested that we do a format.
Interaction.
Yeah, that is interactive.
But it would be, we would each have a small group, or?
Yes, you would have in a kind of a cafe style where you have your facilitator and you have maybe 6 to 8, you know, community members.
Oh, but we wouldn't be facilitating.
Correct. There would be a facilitator managing the whole process. But we may, and we're still working on this, and we'll bring it back next time.
Right, okay.
But the idea would be that it would be great if the committee members could hear and participate in each of the tables so they could get a broad representation of what people
were saying. Oh, so we'd like rotate tables or something?
Maybe.
Either we would rotate or the public would rotate.
Okay, but someone else would be facilitating the discussion.
Correct.
We're just interacting. Okay.
Yeah.
I would go with the flow. I'll go with the flow. Whatever I'm told to do.
She would do note-taking.
So are we requesting volunteers right now?
We'll do it via email. I just wanted to get those dates on your calendars. And a sense of thinking about what people are interested in doing. So we have a lot coming up in early November.
And then the next meeting wouldn't be till December 13th.
Right. And would there be some other activities the first 2 weeks of December before?
We were thinking that we would have the public process, and then in December we would kind of come back to this with all of the information that we've gathered.
We're hoping for a recommendation in December, but then there would likely have to be a written process where.
So that's where the first couple of weeks of December would be. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, after Thanksgiving until December 13th, what are we doing?
I think really that's consolidating things. So, and I'll have to say that the architect is writing a huge chunk of the final report.
Oh, okay.
So.
But I think we're being expected to make that recommendation on December 13th.
So we have to be, I mean, we're not meeting, but we're going to have to be communicating in those first 2 weeks of December.
I think that the December meeting will be the discussion about what the recommendation is.
Okay. And hopefully at the end of that meeting we'll come up with this.
I think it's possible that there may not be unanimity.
Yeah, I understand.
And December 13th is intended to be the final meeting. Is that correct?
I think we may have to come back together and celebrate or finalize a document.
Yeah, sign off.
But my hope is that on December 13th, the committee, at least a majority of the committee, will come to some level of comfort around a particular recommendation.
Should we be moving to the public comment?
I think that would be good.
Okay.
Cliff?
I'm sorry, just before we start the public comment, I don't know whether this is a good idea or not, but everybody's been sitting here listening to the pros and cons of four options, and they've listened to us go through the pros and cons of all four, so we, instead of just saying 3 minutes per person, maybe just have the opportunity to go through A1.
Well, I'm thinking that's kind of what we will be doing on the November 12th.
There's also
when we have the more interactive times that will.
There's also 10 people signed up.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So we'll need to
start
this. Right.
So Cliff Barney.
Nice. I'm Cliff Barney. I have to say that when I came in tonight, I was somewhat overwhelmed to find it. You seem to have taken a recommendation that I made last week and see what you could do with $23 million. Hats off to Nolan and Jan for finding a way to cut what, almost 30% from the cost in a couple of weeks. But I have to say that I'm hearing about it and what's been done. I don't think that you've really decided to see what you could do with $23 million. You've merely chopped out some pieces from an original plan that was way over budget. And I don't think that And everybody, a plan that nobody, including the designers, like, apparently. So I don't see how you can even present it to the public as a possibility if nobody likes it. And I still think that, I mean, when I came to Santa Cruz a few years ago, the library had trouble with the payroll, I guess, and they were curtailing library hours all over the county. And now you have $23 million and it's a problem. I just think that I don't think this approach is going to work. There's going to be a lot of public opposition to the parking building, as you well know, and you don't even know if it's going to be built. So the shared plan D is not much. The full print sounds like a dream, but it also sounds nobody thinks they're going to get it. And then you have plan A, which is still way over budget. I mean, A.1 doesn't look good. I don't know. I frankly wouldn't vote for any of your projects, and I'm surprised that you would. You know, and so I really think, can you just tell the city council, look, these are not necessarily the only alternatives. You can start afresh and say, we have $23 million to renovate our library. What do we want to do with it? Not something, what would you like to do if we had unlimited money, or what if we had even an extra 14 or 15 million, but just with this, what do you want to do with it? And I think that's the only reasonable recommendation one could make, and I hope you do something like that. Thanks.
Harvey Dozik?
Well, he stole a lot of my thunder. Two things that's come out initially is that during this entire hearing, the word farmers markets have not been spoken. You know, I can promise you there will be a lot of opposition to the garage, mainly because it's so much over budget. The opposition will include, I mean, this is Santa Cruz we're talking about. The opposition will include at the city council level, at letters to the editor, at public meetings, at protests and demonstrations. So so that's another thing that has not been mentioned except what you did in terms of one of the cons, that there would be less public opposition. You know, Cliff speaks about, and I would remember, prior to Proposition S, it would have been manna from heaven to think of having $23 million to upgrade our library system. Now we're talking about, even the low budget ones are $15 million over budget. There's not a word in this meeting, there was some last meeting, that's how are you going to meet a $15 million over budget? But the idea of floating another bond is just unbelievably poor idea. It's not going to happen. And we all know it's not going to happen. To go back to the voters and ask him to do another $15 million? No, that's not going to happen. I'd also like, so in addition to the an organized protest that I envision, that the farmers market is going to be the groundswell of that opposition, because I hang out there a lot, and I know that there is, it's not universal, but there's a tremendous number of people that are going like, what are they talking about? Lastly, I'd like to reiterate something I mentioned at the last one, and that is, I had imagined 400 to 500 cars coming in with a parking garage, but I read that there's 640 parking spaces. Now, come on, guys. You know, we talk about global warming, we talk about the opposition of the Trump administration to virtually everything environmental, and here Santa Cruz is going to come and invite another 600 cars down to downtown Santa Cruz. What happens to traffic? Do any of you folks commute in and out of Santa Cruz on Highway 1? Thank you. It's already, coming here today, it's already pretty stiff. This is only going to add to that problem. So, from a pro position for A1 is no additional traffic, no additional pollution. From a global perspective, as well as from a local perspective, and no public opposition to it, because that can be expensive.
Michael Lewis.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to hear some reality enter into the process tonight. It's the first time we've had it so far. We had all the pie in the sky, the wow factor stuff, and now we're down to real reality, because $23 million is all there is. That's it. And that's the reality that you have to work with. There, I have a question about the 44,000 square feet that exist in this building now. This includes the what's called the back of the house functions, everything in the annex and back here. Does the 44,000 square feet of the newly envisioned library include those back of the house functions? And if so, how much space do they take up in the new library? So it's not, so when you talk about this A1 proposition losing 6,000 to 9,000 square feet, 8,000 square feet, whatever it is, you're not losing it because you don't have it now. Those functions have to go somewhere. So where do they go? So don't think that the A1 remodeling, that you're losing something, because you're not. It's still here, and it's still the same way it is. And all of the space that is not a part of that will be changed and renovated and upgraded and polished and new and fancy, and it will attract new people, just like it would when any other renovations. So it's not a loss. It's just different. In terms of a parking garage being safer than this building, I invite you to go right now into any of the parking garages downtown and see how safe you feel. Parking garage is not a safe space. It's a dark space. It's a space with a lot of crannies and nooks and where people can hide and do bad things. And I don't want to have the library in that kind of environment. It's just not a place for the library. Don't confuse square footage with programming. This $23 million is to build you a space. It's not to do your programming for you. So even if the space is not maybe what you would really want to have completely in all its way, you fit the programs into the space. So the $23 million is not buying you programming. That's programming is up here in the way you design it. That's all I have.
Jean Brockelbank.
Hi, committee. You know, we don't live in a different world. We live in this world. So all of the pie in the sky stuff, well, if we lived in a different world, we could do this, but we don't. We live in this world. And I think we have a responsibility to be conservative and think about what we can do and set our dreams aside. With one exception, I didn't hear a list, a really full list, of what can be done in the so-called shelled out area. Shelled out, the term itself makes it sound like somebody's dropped a bomb. So there is a negative connotation. And then I didn't hear a list of everything that can be done in the shelled out, new plumbing. Well, we're gonna get new plumbing. You know, I thought the committee was looking for new bathrooms and new plumbing. I saw that as a positive, but I saw only dour looks. New plumbing, of course, if you say new plumbing. New elevator. I think that's terrific. We've been talking about that elevator needed to be new. A skylight over the stairwell would be wonderful. You know, I can look at all the things that the naysaying said, well, we're not going to get this, and we're not going to get this, and we're not going to get that. I could stand up here and I'm saying, yeah, but here's what we can get. And I would like to have a list of those things, because you didn't hear those things. You only heard one or two or three of them, but you did not get a full list of what could be done with A1. Parking should be a pro on A1, and it should be listed as a pro on A, because the parking there is going to remain. So to say we get parking with D, but not with A and 1, makes A and A1 look less, right? It's just a matter of perspective. We don't have any and putting maintenance cost that is going to cost more to maintain a two-story building, we do not have any evidence, no evidence to substantiate what the maintenance cost for a new library in the parking garage is going to be. It can't, you know, Susan said some of these are opinions and some of them are fact. But I think it's really important to have substantiated evidence. Thanks, Ivan. We need evidence before we start making some of these kinds of things. Let's see, I have 15 seconds left. The parking garage library would be closer to the Pacific Mall. One block. That's a little disingenuous. Okay, thanks for listening.
Judy Grunstra.
Yes, once again, there's another important community meeting this evening that's conflicting with this, and people can't come to this meeting because they're probably at that meeting. Well, without seeing any floor plans, I still don't have an idea of how the areas will be allocated, such as the identified things we want, the teen space, the small study rooms, flexible space for evolving needs. I have no clue of what that's going to look like. I think the committee's making assumptions about what kinds of programs can or can't be offered. The library's already presenting a lot of valuable programs in the spaces we presently have. There's also been some statements made with no evidence about attracting a diverse population or new people, and that's just, I don't know where that's coming from, really. People come to the library because the library offers valuable resources. I repeat what Michael said about a safe, more secure environment in D. I don't see that at all, because you can't control what goes on in the garage. People are lurking around or whatever. It's cars coming and going, you know, families are trying to bring their kids to the library, ducking the cars coming out, let's see. It's also farther away from the administrative offices, which was mentioned at some point in the past. I think the vague notions of there's going to be housing, there's going to be businesses, there's going to be retail, everything all now mixed up in this thing. The more elements you have in a building, the more chance you have of fires or leaks or whatever. You know, many meetings ago, you know, one of the criteria was a warm, welcoming building, and a garage is not going to be that. So I think, you know, if we can't get everything we want right now, there's always room in the future for improvements. So, you know, we don't have to assume this is it, you know. Thank you.
Dean Searle.
Yeah, the more I sit in on these meetings, the more I think it's a more complex issue than I thought it was to start with. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to reach a solution. I'm kind of curious why I have about three questions. One is, how much of the cost we've been talking about here is reasonably attributable to deferred maintenance over the years? I'd be kind of curious to know the answer to that. The second question is, we started out, last time I was here, we had three alternatives. Now we have four. And maybe we can have 25 at some time. But what I suggested, it might be a good idea to, if we could do what we really wanted to do, what would it be? What would do we really want the library to be? And we haven't seen that yet. And it seems to me, I remember Les White, when his transportation director said, do it right the first time. And if you have to delay getting things done until you find out what you want to do, find out what you want to do, and then do it right.
Rick Longinetti.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for serving tonight. The garage and library option looks like it's less expensive in some ways, and that's because the costs are borne by the city on, you know, another part of the city, right? The parking district. I just want to say something about what that means. So the city's cost of, you know, operating the parking district now costs about $105 a month per parking space to deliver that parking. And if the garage is built, you know, $37 million as the city's garage portion of this cost, just the debt service alone on that is, you know, at 4% 30-year words would be around $2.2 million a year. And so debt service plus maintenance administration raises the cost of the downtown parking district by about 75%. So you've got to look for more income to the downtown parking district, about 75% more income. Where's the income come from? Well, people that park in the garages and meters, people that work downtown and pay for parking permits, and business owners downtown who pay a deficiency fee because they won't provide enough of their own parking. So I know that business owners were hoping to get some kind of break in their deficiency fee, particularly in the recent years since the recession 2008. You know, there's been a lot of recovery in our economy, but not with retail. Apparently, you know, Amazon and people ordering online has really cut into the downtown retail. So there was a hope, and I know part of business owners and some people in the city government to give business owners a break. It's a little hard to imagine with a 75% increase in your budget, how you do that. What happens if parking rates go up across the board is actually parking demand goes down. And there are some figures about, you know, the demand going down like 2 to 3% for every 10% that the cost of parking rises. So if it rises 75%, you might get parking demand going down by 25%. So ironically, you build a lot of new capacity, but you might not need that new capacity. In fact, you might have a lower demand than you started with. So these are a lot of kind of complex, maybe unintended consequences of this. And so I just really caution you to be getting involved with that issue. I know there's also the externalized cost on the environment, and that's what's near and dear to me. And I'm hoping, and that's a larger vision for a city that gets around not so heavily dependent on automobile. And I think that's what we're trying to persuade our dear city manager about, and you all too. Thank you.
Dan Spelch.
Dan Spelz, and I just 4 points. One, I'm curious about the $23 million figure for Measure S, and I'll try and do a little research on this myself, but maybe this would be useful to you all too, is what was the thinking behind picking that number not so long ago, $23 million? What were people hoping to accomplish with the $23 million, and that's just part of a larger measure? And how does that vary from the predicament we're finding ourselves in now? Is it Dirk or Eric?
Eric.
I hope that you do have a chance to, you know, look at the roof. I do think that's an important part of an architect's thinking. I would hope it would be. And so before much longer, I hope you, maybe with your favorite roofing friend or a roofer.
We can talk afterwards.
Okay. Because I think that a roof is a really important part of the building. And I would want an architect to be advising me about that. If we were looking at renovation and not just new construction. I would like to encourage you all to think of the $23 million as part of a phased renovation. Maybe embracing option A, the full renovation, or option C, a two-story with the deck. That is, a fuller sense of what we want, and that the $23 million is, you know, a foundation to build on. And I look at the Museum of Art and History, and you know, when Nina came here years ago, she started with a lot of small steps, and now she's making big, or you know, not just her, but the circle of people that love the museum have made some really wonderful leaps. And just to close with the fourth point, the $38 million figure for full renovation, option A, hey, we're two-thirds of the way there. two-thirds is pretty far along. And for option C, the two-story with the deck, we're 47% of the way there. That's a pretty good lead. Now, wealthy folks for the last four decades have been pretty tenacious at driving down tax rates for themselves. And they're now, coming out of the 2008 Depression, are now buying up buildings with cash. So maybe there are some community-minded wealthy folks that would love to associate themselves with the Carnegie Library legacy and contribute some of what they have foregone contributing to the public sector as a result of lower tax rates. Thank you.
Mark Lee.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that you're expanding the public input. However, I would like to make sure that we extend the pros and cons discussion. There's a lot more that has to be placed here on the various charts. First of all, I still cannot believe that we're actually considering a move to the farmers market site location. I guess it's version D, right? The shared version. The reason is the whole concept architecturally has all kinds of flaws, environmentally, from the standpoint of transportation demand. We don't know what the future is in terms of transportation downtown with new vehicles and automated driving. The concept though of mixed land use on this cultural center is absolutely ridiculous. First of all, just trying to imagine a four-story parking lot over a library where people are trying to study, where you have banging and noising and vibration, you have smoke, you have exhaust fumes, and you have loud noising jarring the building. It's absurd. The whole concept is absurd. I used to be a facilities planner. I think I mentioned as a manager at NASA JPL, and we would never even consider that we have a lot of parking structures that were underground or above ground, etc., but separated from the science building. The scientists there would not even permit something like this. It's ridiculous. Also, you're going to be losing environmentally a lot of old historic traditional trees in that area. We should be looking at actually going to the city with a concurrent application to make that a permanent cultural resource with amphitheater design, places for the farmers market, a place for music, and a place for people to actually come together as a community, as common areas. It's absolutely absurd to think that we need to have a parking structure down there. Think about it. It's a waste of valuable real estate. Think about what you're going to make decisions on. The real answer lies in either, in my opinion, the least expensive renovation, A1. Let's stick with our budget of $23 million and work on just space planning. You can do all kinds of stuff with $23 million. I walk through this library and I look at the wasted space here. You can use this area as it exists and replan the existing stacks, location of service stations, and also improve some of the stairways, the side lights, the bathrooms, and the offices in the back. I still would also recommend looking at the roof and maybe a structure over the parking lot. But let's stick with our budget and get realistic. Thank you.
Fred Geiger.
Good evening. Well, sometimes I wonder why we're all here. Because, as I mentioned before, I never got an answer. We had four tax increases to save the library. Everybody wants to save the library. We tore the ceiling out, took everything out, rewired everything. Place was shut down for months, repainted. I thought we saved the library. I thought we paid to save the library. So where's the money? How are we going to administer this new money if we just blow through stuff like four tax increases and then we hear, oh, I don't know what happened. We're just going to go do something else, spend some more money over here. So how do we get here? Well, what does the city do when they don't know what to do? They hire consultants. For $2 million at home, we got to cut all these social programs, $10,000 here, a little bit here. We spend, I'm sure, $2 million a year on consultants. We had three consultants talking about the parking thing. I'm sure we got lots of brilliant ideas from all those consultants. Actually, they only had one idea. They all agreed. Maybe that's, you know, that could be true, right? If they all agree, I mean, yeah, we pay them because they know what they're talking about. They said, don't build a parking structure. We don't need it. It doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. I don't have time to tell you all about it. City's climate action plan says we discourage automobile usage. We're talking about spending millions of dollars to accommodate automobiles where our official policy is to discourage automobiles? Hello? Somebody make it sense here? I'm just confused, I guess. So, look, we have a library. We paid a lot of money to fix this library. Maybe it needs some more fixing. Who says we need to go off and get rid of it completely and do something really expensive, very questionable, quite likely unnecessary parking lot, bad location, incompatible uses, against our beliefs in automobiles? Let's fix the dang library as cheaply as possible. And that's the answer. It's simple. Thank you.
That's everyone, unless there's anyone else. That's everyone who signed up.
Okay. There's no other. I think you can.